Good morning. Today's Daf and Yuma's Pei. We're starting at the very bottom of Ayin Tesamid Beis, the last three words. Tanya, we're going to be starting with the Braisa. This is going to be a continuation of yesterday's discussion regarding Shirim. So the Shir Achila on Yom Kippur, in order to violate the fast on Yom Kippur, is a Shir of a Kosevis. It's the volume of a date. So a couple of details that we went over yesterday. We tried to clarify yesterday. We say the volume of a date, does that include the volume of the pit as well, or does that exclude the pit? And the Gemara didn't resoundingly conclude, but the Gemara basically said it's the date and its pit. The other issue, which is just another very basic technical question regarding the shear of Yom Kippur, is that when we say it's the volume of a kosevis, so we know it's greater than a kazayis. That we know for sure. Where does it stand relative to the beitza? So the Gemara yesterday brought down two opinions. One, the opinion of Rabba, and the other one is the opinion of Zvid. Rabba says that the shear of a kosevis it's larger than that of a beitza. And Rav Zvid says, no, just the opposite. The kosevis is smaller than that of a beitza. According to Rav Zvid, which is the accepted halacha, is that the shirim basically go kezias, and in order from small to large, a kezias, a kosevis, and a beitza. So that is that was Rav Zvid's position. And yesterday we brought two proofs for Rav Zvid. The first proof wasn't super full proof, but the second proof for Rav Zvid seems to be a very full proof for his shita. Okay. Right. But again, I understand that, but it's not so easy to see because there's a range of sizes. In other words, by olives, right? Today we're going to have a lengthy discussion by olives. So there's a range of sizes, and so the chachamim are there to determine, so which one are we talking about? The small one, the medium one, or the large one? So I suppose the same discussion could be had regarding a date. Are we talking about a small date, a large date, et cetera, et cetera? Okay. So today, more discussion regarding Shiurim. Today's Daf and Yuma, Daf Pei, is going to be a really basic discussion regarding Shiurim in general. We're going to have a general discussion regarding how to understand Shiurim. Of course, we know the Gemara says three times in Shas that Shiurim are lachal moshe misina, the idea that there is a Shiur, that there is a requisite amount that one either has to eat for a mitzvah or is prohibited from eating if it's an Isser. So this idea that it is that we have Shiurim is a lachal moshe misina. It's part of the tradition that was given at Har Sinai. It's a din daraisa. It just happens to be that's not written in the Torah. So that's coming up in today's daf. The size of a kezias fluctuating over the course of history. So that's coming up in our daf as well, right? There is a more famous discussion that's had by the Noda de Behuda. He believes that the kezias actually is much larger than people generally assumed. Okay, but that's not, obviously that is a discussion that happens post-Gemara. But as far as the Gemara is concerned, the Gemara is actually going to be discussing the fluctuating kezias. And then another part of today's dafa is the shear for drinking, which is a malo lugmav. And we're going to have a discussion today in malo lugmav. So today's all shearim, just in case you want to try to help commit the daf to memory. So today's daf is pay. Pay is pe. That's basically everything that's going into your mouth. That's today's daf. Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Rabbi Omer calls shirim kulam b'kazayis. So when coming to shirim of food, so the standard shir is going to be kazayis. That's going to be the shir. With notable exceptions, two notable exceptions. Chos mitumas ochlim, shishin hakasav bimashma'an, vishinu chachamim b'shiuran. When it comes to tumas ochlim, which I'm going to explain in just a moment, so since the Torah deviates in the way it presents it, so therefore the chachamim understood that the shir for tumas ochlim is going to be a little bit different. And rai l'davar yom kippur, and another proof to this is going to be Yom Kippur. Also, the Torah deviates in the way it presents the Isser of eating on Yom Kippur. So therefore, the shear for Yom Kippur is going to be a little bit different as well. Okay, so the standard rule is that the shear of foods is going to be a kezias. That's for both for a mitzvah and for an Isser. When the Torah tells me I have to eat a food, so it's a kezias. When the Torah says that I cannot eat a food, that too is going to be a kezias with the two notable exclusions. Let's go for both exceptions. One is Tumas Ochlin. Tumas Ochlin, what is that? The idea that that an ochel, that a food can be a transmitter of tumah. Okay, so we know, of course, that when it comes to tumah, so there are sources of tumah, right? Many different sources of Tumah. And then there's also conduits or transmissions of Tumah as well. So Kalim is a transmitter of Tumah. Now, Kalim can only become Tameh from coming into contact with an Avat Tumah, but a Kli can become now a conduit of Tumah. The Kli now will become, let's say it comes into contact with the Sheretz. The Kli now will become a Rishon, and then when that Kli comes into contact with the food now will become a Sheni. So a Kli is a conductor of Tumah. Food also is a conductor of Tumah. So if and food is even more sensitive, meaning food can become Tameh, not even coming into contact with an Av. Even if it comes into contact with a Vlad, the food's going to become Tameh. So by chulin we know that a food can become a sheni l'tuma. So again, let's just go over the same example that I just brought down. So you have a sheretz coming into contact with the kli. Sheretz is an av, kli is a rishon, and if there is food in that kli making contact with that kli, the food now is a sheni. Good. How much food do you need in order to become tamei? So the answer is not a kezias. Again, this is an exclusion. It's an exception. So the amount that you need is going to be a kebetza. Now, it happens to be the way that I just presented it. Not all Rishonim are on the same page, right? In other words, machlokas went by Tumas Ochlin. Is that shear of a kebetza for it to pass the tuma along to something else? Or is the tuma kebetza even for it to be mekabel tuma? Okay, so the Rishonim debate that issue. Okay, we're not going to go through it right now. That's one exception where you have a shear for ochel for tumas ochlin, and the shear is not a kezias, it's a kebetza. Why? Because of the deviation in the pasuk. We're going to see the pasuk in just a moment from now. And the other notable exception, of course, is Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, so the shear is not a kezias, the shear is a kosefis. So these are the two notable exceptions. And the way the Braisa presents it, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says it, is because of the way the pasuk presents it in the deviation in the pasuk. So the Gemara says now, Maishina akasa b'mashma'o. So when we say by Yom Kippur there's a deviation, what does that mean? Melosuna. So it means that by Yom Kippur, the Torah says that we have to afflict ourselves, right? And the person who does not afflict himself is going to be subject to kares. So Maishinu Chachamim Bishurah Kakosevis, and the shear for eating on Yom Kippur is a kosevis. Good. Now Umay Rala Davar Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara says now, if you look at the way the Braisa is structured and phrased, it says, how do I know that Tumas Ochlin is going to be a different shear? Oh, because we have Yom Kippur. Okay. So the Gemara says, wait, I don't understand. How does one prove the other? They're both basically the same. In both instances, by Tumas Ochlin, which we haven't even seen the pasuk yet, by Tumas Ochlin and by Yom Kippur, we have deviation. So why is one a proof for the other? So the Gemara says, "Dimasam havamin orcha dekrahu." So the Gemara says, because look, if all I had was Tumas Ochlin, so there it's not such a wild deviation. I know we haven't seen the pasuk yet, but we're going to see in just a moment. It's not such a wild deviation. When it comes to Yom Kippur, it's a wild deviation. The Torah doesn't even use the word achila in describing Yom Kippur. The Torah just simply says, v'inisim estav shoseichem. So we have to afflict ourselves. So there, because it's such a deviant way to write it, it doesn't say the word achila, so we know by Yom Kippur the shear is going to be different. The shear is a kosevis. So once now that sets the trend, that with deviation will come now a new shear, so now we go to Tumas Ochlin, and there, even though the deviation is just a more subtle deviation, nevertheless, it's going to be a different shear. Now, Tumas Ochlin kebetza minalan. So the Gemara says, good. So the shear for Tumas Ochlin is kebetza minalan. How do I know that? Now, admittedly, that is a bit of a funny question, because as we just pointed out, all the shirim are, well, we didn't point this out yet. The Gemara will point this out, sorry. The shir for Ochlin is Halacha Moshe Misinai. So the fact that the Pasuk is written a little bit differently and what the source is for shirim when it comes to these other foods. So, okay, so it's a little bit strange that the Gemara is looking for the Pasuk to teach us, when meanwhile, the Gemara's point is going to be that it's Halacha Moshe Misinai. I guess what the Gemara is asking is, can we see it in the pasuk? Okay, so the Gemara says, yeah. So I'm Rabbi Abba, I'm Rav Elazar, I'm a Krami, Kol Ochel Asher Ye'achel. Okay, so when it comes to Tumas Ochlin, so the way the Torah phrases it is Kol HaOchel Asher Ye'achel. Parsha Shmini, when the Torah introduces us to this idea of Tumas Ochlin, it says Ochel Asher Ye'achel. So like I said moments earlier, but here now you see it. The deviation is a slight deviation. It uses the word achila. It's just a funny way to phrase it. Kol ha'ochel asher ye'achal. So ochel ba machmas ochel. So the Gemara says, so how do we darshan that pasuk? It means food that's producing a food. What food produces a food? So as the beitzah tarnegolus. Oh, it's the chicken and the egg. The chicken is an ochel. It produces an egg, which is an ochel. So that is food, that produces a food. So which the Gemara says, ve'ema gedi. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what also produces food? So a goat produces food. So the Gemara says, mechusar shchita. Yeah, but that's not, that food is not prepared. That, in other words, for us to be able to eat the kid, right? Kid meaning, right? Offspring of the goat. So you have to shecht it. So that can't be what the pasuk is describing. Ve'emas ben pekua. The Gemara says, okay, ben pekua, you shecht the mother with the fetus in utero. So now we're allowed to eat the fetus. So the Gemara says, tone kriya. The Gemara says, yeah, but it's also not prepared. It's not ready. It's true that the fetus does not need shechita, but on the other hand, however, there is blood running through it. You have to drain it of its blood. So it's not totally ready. Ve'emas beitza bar yuchni. The Gemara says, okay. So fine. So for Tumas Ochlin, it's going to be an egg because we need a food that's prepared upon emergence from its food, from its mother, from the hen. So the Gemara says, so we're talking about an egg, but we're talking about an egg. You know, there are a lot of different sizes of eggs. So maybe Bar Yochne. Bar Yochne is a very large egg. Very large bird producing a really large egg. See the Gemara in Bukharos, Rashi over here quotes it in Zion Amid Beis. So see the Gemara in Bukharos for a description of how large a bird it is. The Gemara gives, if you remember the Gemara over there, an unbelievable description of how big the Bar Yochni is. Anyway, but for our purposes right now, we just simply need to know. It's a really large bird. How do I know it's a chicken? So tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta meruba tafasta. So the Gemara gives us a rule. All right, we're going to hear this rule a number of times throughout Shas. We're going to hear it in the beginning of Sukkah, other places as well. So the idea is that, look, you should always be conservative. Okay, I'm not talking politically. You should always be conservative, meaning if there are different numbers to choose from or different sizes to choose from, so you choose a smaller size so you know you're in the right. Anytime you go larger than that, so you don't know, especially if the choices are unlimited in nature. But you should take the smaller size. The tafasta, mua tafasta. When you grab a little bit, you know you have something in your hand, right? Cliche, but the right a bird in the hand. Okay. Anyway, the just whatever. It's you know the ema biasa disiparta de zuta tuva. The Gemara says okay. So if I'm looking for the smallest bird, you know there's smaller birds than that of a chicken that produce smaller eggs than that of a chicken. So if we're predicated on the principle of tafasta meruba. So, truth be told, is that that's going to be a smaller shear. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Abau Didei Amar. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what we're going to do? We're really going to abandon. Meaning that the drasha that we tried to give earlier, Kol Ochel Asher Ye'achel, any food that produces a food, the Gemara says basically, no, you're right. That's not it. So if that's not it, so what is it? So the Gemara says as follows, what the Rabbi Abba himself says, meaning previously Rabbi Abba was quoting Rabbi Lazar. But as we basically struck out in the previous drasha. The previous drasha simply didn't work because it's kol ha'achel asher ya'achel, any food producing a food. So it doesn't bring us to the one conclusion that it has to be a chicken and its egg. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go to a different source. What's the different source? So Rabbi Abau Didei, Almer, Mikol Achel Asher Yechel, Ocha Shata, Ocha Bavas Achef, Ishiyar Chachamim, Ein Beis Abliya, Machzik Yosem, Mechabetzas Tarnagolim. So it's a food that you're going to be able to eat in one bite. Or basically fill the mouth at one time, and that's going to be an egg. An egg is able to fill the mouth at one time. I say the mouth, by the way, it's really the Beis Abliya. So, which structure, which part of the mouth we're talking about. It sounds like we're talking about the throat. It basically is able to be gulped down at one time. That could be the drasha. Regardless, that's the drasha as explained by Rabbi Abba. Okay. That takes us to the first part of today's daf. In other words, the standard shear is going to be a kezias, with notable exception to the achil of Yom Kippur, which is a koseves, Tumas Ochlin, which is a kebetza. And again, why are they notable exceptions? So the Gemara says it's based on the deviation of the pasuk. But okay, good. The pasuk just simply the Gemara in a moment is about to say it's really halacha l'moshe misinai. Okay, next. Amar Rebbe Lazar, really interesting halacha by Rebbe Lazar, and that is ha'ochel chelev b'zman hazeh. Let's say you ate chelev nowadays, meaning obviously we're talking about post Beis Hamikdash, post Chorban Beis Hamikdash. You ate a kezias of an amount of chelev by accident. In other words, you certainly didn't mean to, and it was unintentional. It was inadvertent. So what you should do is you should write down the shir. So lo shir. Because here's what may end up happening. This is really interesting, and that is that a later Beis Din may come, and a later Beis Din may say, you know what? We generally know what a kezias is, which parenthetically we're not absolutely sure what a kezias is. Meaning the poskim disagree in terms of how much it is, but for purposes of explaining the Gemara, let's just say we know what a kezias is. But what may end up happening is that a Beis Din may come along and a Beis Din may say, you know what, the kezias is going to be. Now, the way he says it, I'm going to say right now, larger. In a moment, we're going to change that. So, and basically, the kezias may fluctuate. Now, it really begs the question, what do you mean the kezias may fluctuate? Like, how in the world is the kezias going to fluctuate? Meaning, isn't the kezias a standard objective shear? How can the Beis Din come along and say that it's going to change in nature? Okay, so what we're going to have to say, honestly, is that the halach l'moshe m'sinai is that a kezias is a volume of an aleph. That part we know. Okay, this you can go to the local farmer's market and go shopping for olives. Okay, what you're going to find over there is that there are small olives, medium olives, and large olives. Now it happens to be the Mishnah in Kalim, right? I think the 17th parak, the Mishnah in Kalim, which goes over all the shirim of the Torah, says that when it comes to the olive, which olive are we talking about? So the Mishnah in Kalim says the mid-sized olive. Okay, fine. Now, that's helpful, but again, you know, everything is relative, and what's the middle? So what may end up happening, this helps us understand our Gemara. What may end up happening is that a later Beis Din is going to come, and the later Beis Din is going to basically say, you know what? We got the olive wrong. We got the volume of the olive wrong. It's not that one, but rather it's that one. Okay. So in order to know whether or not we're going to be chayv karban chatas, it's a really interesting discussion. I ate chaylev and I did so b'shogeg, and now am I chayv karban chatas? Well, right now we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, so what is there to talk about? But you know, the Beis Hamikdash will be built b'mehera v'yamenu, and then I'm going to be chayv to bring a karban chatas. So what I should do is I should write down the amount that I ate, so that if a later Beis Din comes and decides that the kezias is going to be now a different shear, so then I'll know. Now, which way are we concerned for? That's the Gemara's next discussion. No, chaylev, karmel chatas.
No, but since you're uncertain whether the amount you ate is qualified you for karmel during a talik.
It's you ate no. Let's just right now say no. Let's Ashim Talu is going to be for a different type of suffix. Okay, so the Shir Shema Yavo Beis Din Achav Yarbe B'Shirim. So my Yarbe B'Shirim. Now, what does that mean? Meaning, okay, Beis Din is going to change the shir. As I just got done explaining. So the Gemara says Inim Adem Chayv Karban Kezias Katan. So the Gemara says maybe they're going to reduce the kezias. So Vatanya Asher Lo Sasan Bishkaga VaHashem Hashem Miyadiyah So Mevi Karban Al Shkaga So Lo Shav Miyadiyah So Ein Mevi Karban Al Shkaga So. Now the Gemara over here brings down the rule. This is a technicality as it relates to bringing the karban chatas. When is a person obligated to bring a karban chatas? So the answer is as follows. You bring a karban chatas under the circumstances in which, had you known better, you wouldn't have done it. Okay, that's the basic idea. Had you known better, you wouldn't have done it. Meaning you sat down, you ate chaylev, you didn't know it was chaylev at the time, you thought it was a permitted food, and you ate it. So if somebody taps you on the shoulder and said, hey, you know that's chaylev, I didn't know. Okay, fine, I'm not going to do it. So under those circumstances, you bring a karban chatas. That's shav miyadiyasa. Now, what the Gemara is arguing over here, it's a really interesting argument. It's a little bit difficult to imagine, but the Gemara is arguing that, look, right now, as the kezias currently is constituted, it is, I'm throwing out a number, just so that we can discuss it. So let's say the kezias is an ounce. Okay. Again, I'm not giving a shear. I'm just throwing out a number. So kezias is an ounce. Now, it may come along at a later point in time, and Beis Din may decide, no, the kezias is going to be half an ounce. Okay. So now, what the Gemara is arguing is the following. Right now, the shear of a kezias is an ounce. And now, if Beis Din comes along and Beis Din says, if somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, well, you got to write down how much you ate. Well, I ate a half an ounce. I didn't eat an ounce. Now, would you have been shav miyadiyaso? would you have not done it had somebody told you, somebody told you that that was chaylev? What the Gemara is arguing right now is not necessarily. Why? Because I didn't eat a shear. I ate less than a shear as it's currently constituted, as it's currently comprised. Now, of course, it's really difficult because even though it's not the shear, if somebody tapped you on the shoulder and said that that's chaylev, even if it's less than a shear, wouldn't you stop? And what? And your argument is, well, it's not a kezias. It's not a full kezias right now as the kezias is currently constituted. And didn't we have a discussion in the beginning of this perek of chatzi shear aser min haTorah? So the idea that the Gemara is presenting right now that, well, because it's less than the kezias as currently constituted, so it wouldn't have stopped you from eating it. Okay, right. It's a little bit difficult for me to understand, admittedly, but that's what the Gemara is arguing right now. So Ella Dolam Chayve Carbon Adika Kazai's Gadol. So the Gemara says, okay. So the reason why you're writing down the amount is not because the shear is going to get smaller, but just the opposite. The shear is going to get larger. Meaning the Chachamim are going to come along and the Chachamim are going to say, oh, you know what? The Kazai shear is larger. Now for Isurim, that helps. Meaning that you ate a certain amount, which right now is currently constituted is a kezias, but what a later basin may come along and say is that no, we weren't wrong. It wasn't an ounce. It was 2 ounces. So now you're going to be spared from bringing a carbon chatas.
The thing is that at that time that he didn't bear, he already committed to, he already established it. He
yeah, and it's so interesting. In other words, what the Gemara is arguing is that the new shear that is established by basin is going to work retroactively, yeah. Right? I'm with you. It's a chiddush, but that's what the Gemara is saying.
But the thing is,
okay, I understand that. And the Gemara is arguing. I hear your argument. The Gemara is arguing otherwise. The Gemara is saying it's retroactive. Okay, so the Gemara says, now, for a moment, we thought that what Basin is going to do is going to make the shear smaller, but truth of the matter is it doesn't fit into the language at all. The language, Rebbe Lazar, is Shema Yarbe Bishurim. Right, the shear is going to get larger. Meaning, the way we ended up explaining Rebbe Lazar is really faithful to the language of Rebbe Lazar, where he says Yarbe Bishurim. So the Gemara says Shema Yarbe Bekarbanos Mach Mashurim. So maybe Yarbe Bishurim means that you're going to end up bringing more karbanos. Meaning, if Basin would have made the shear smaller, so more people would be obligated to bring karbanos. That's Yarbe Bishurim. Okay. Anyway, so what comes out now from the Gemara is that when you eat chaylev, if you did so inadvertently, so you should write down the amount, because the kezias may end up fluctuating by a later based in. And as Ben highlights over here, it's really interesting. Whatever they decide at a later point in time will then affect us retroactively. Again, that's a chiddush, but that's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, Amar of Yochanan. Okay, here comes now one of the most basic points when it comes to shiurim in the Gemara, the Yuma Daf Pei, I'm Rav Yochanan shiurim v'onshin alach l'moshim isinai. So when it comes to shiur, when it comes to onesh, amounts and punishments, that's alach l'moshim isinai. So the Gemara immediately seeks to clarify. Onshin, michtach ksivi, what are you talking about? Punishments are alach l'moshim isinai. That you just open up a chumash and you go through the yisurim in the Torah and the Torah tells you what the punishments are. Elahachi kamar shirim shel onchem alach l'moshem isinai. Okay, so as a quick clarification, what he means is that look, the punishments are written in the Torah, but when do you get the punishment? Oh, so that you need halach l'moshem isinai, because when it comes to eating and other yisurim as well, so there's going to be a shir, there's going to be an amount, and that amount is given also to Moshe Rabbeinu. It just happens to be that it wasn't written in the Torah, and that qualifies as halach l'moshem isinai, but it's still part and parcel of the Isurei HaTorah. Of course it's Isurei HaTorah, because now you're going to be punished min HaTorah for eating that much. So that much, the amount is halach l'moshem isinai. Tanya nami hachi. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, same point. Shirim shel onshem halach l'moshem isinai. And here the Braisa doesn't need editing. The Braisa says it clearly. The shir for onesh is halach l'moshem isinai. Now, Achayim Omim, now in the Braisa there's another opinion, but that is based in the Shol Yaivitz Tiknum. The basin of Yaivitz was the one who instituted the shiurim. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? So, meata. What do you mean? Now, by the way, when we say Yaivitz, we're talking about Asniel ben Kenaz, right? Rashi over here says Asniel ben Kenaz, one of the earlier shoftim, right? The Gemara in a number of places talks about how tremendous a Talmid Chacham he was. And so, he, in the Gemara, he's known as Yaivitz. So the Gemara says, so how could it possibly be? right? He was the one who innovated shiurim. That can't possibly be. So Ella shachachum v'chazum v'yastum. What it means is that no, that according to the Acherim, so shiurim also are halach l'moshe misinai. But what happened was is that there came a period in time where many of the halachas were forgotten. Elsewhere, the Gemara describes 3,000 halachas that were forgotten at the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyway, what Asniel ben Kenaz was able to do was reconstruct the halachas. How does he reconstruct the halachas? So we know we have methodology in terms of how to piece Torah Shabbal Peh together. Yet you give them either Shatar and Nidreshes Behem. There are ways to darshan the Torah, and there are ways to put the puzzle back together again. Okay, that's what we do every day in Gemara. We put the puzzle back together again. I mean, we do. We see the Chacham and the way the Chacham and put it back together again. So that's what Asniel ben Kenaz does. And so that, according to the Acherim, he's not disagreeing that Shiurim Halacha Moshe Misinai. What he's just simply adding or contributing is that there was a moment where the halachas were forgotten. Asniel ben Kenaz came back in and reconstructed. Okay. Atkan, that takes us now to the end of Shiurim as it relates to food. And that is a Kizayis, with notable exceptions of Tumas Ochlin, Kibetza, Achila and Yom Kippur, Koseves, good. The Gemara now is going, we are going to continue in the Gemara. We're in Pei Amud Aleph. We are towards the bottom of the Amud, a quarter of the way down. The Gemara starts off, Hashosim lo lugmav. So on Yom Kippur, if you were to drink, the shear for drinking on Yom Kippur is going to be a cheek full. So the Gemara is going to be spending now the rest of today's talk talking about the cheek full. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel lo malo lugmav mamash, Ela kol she'ilu yisakinu tzad echad, So, when we say cheekful, so I didn't properly translate the Mishnah. Melo lugmav means his cheeks full, both cheeks. And now on that, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel comments, no, it's not two cheeks, it's actually one cheek. In other words, take the liquid, put it in your mouth, and if you can just put it in one cheek, or in other words, just blow up one cheek in the liquid, that is enough in order to take off the edge and put you in a state where you're no longer in Inui, and that brings about the liability for Yom Kippur. So it's one cheek full. So the Gemara says, okay, but v'hanan tanan melo lugmav. Okay, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says two cheekfuls. Emakim melo lugmav. So the Gemara says, well, no. When the Mishnah says melo lugmav, it means ki melo lugmav. It looks like two cheekfuls. How is it going to look like two cheekfuls if only one cheek is filled with liquid? So it sounds funny, but basically a side profile. Right, you look at the person from the side, you look at the, obviously on the side in which his cheek is full, so it looks like his cheeks are full, but the halacha is, it's actually one cheek being full. Meitzvah, the Gemara says, really, this is the correct shot of the Mishnah, even though the Mishnah says two cheekfuls, it really means one cheekful. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Kama Yishtev, Yei Chayev, how much do you drink on Yom Kippur in order to be chayev? Beit Shammai Omrim Revius, so Beit Shammai says Revius, Beit Hillel Omrim, Melo Lugmav, a cheekful, Rev Yehuda Omrim, Ishim Rav Lazar, Kim Melo Lugmav, like a cheekful, Rev Yehuda Ben Beseir, Omrim, Kedei Gemiyah, the amount that it takes for one swallow in one occasion. Okay, so what do we have now in the Braisa? A lot of opinions in the Braisa, right? In the Mishnah, we were only given one opinion, obviously the opinion of Beit Hillel. But in the Braisa, we have no less than four different opinions. And now the Gemara wants to know, so how could you tell me that it's a melo lugmav, it means one cheekful, when meanwhile in the Braisa it says two cheekfuls. So the Gemara says, mi adifa mi masnisin do kimna kidei shira hachinami kidei shira. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what we did in the Mishnah? So we reinterpreted the Mishnah. So we'll do the same thing over here. We're reinterpreting the Braisa. When it says melo lugmav, it means kit melo lugmav. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in the Braisa it doesn't work. Because go back over the Braisa. The Braisa first introduces us to Beis Shammai, then Beis Hillel, and then Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav Elazar. Beis Hillel says, Amelo Lugmav. Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav Elazar says, Kim Amelo Lugmav. There's got to be a difference between them. Presumably the difference is that Rav Elazar is Kim Amelo Lugmav, which means one cheekful. And Beis Hillel, who says, Amelo Lugmav means two cheekful. That's presumably what it means. So the Gemara says, no. Ika beinayu melo lugmav. They both mean one cheekful. So if they both mean one cheekful, so what's the difference between Rav Elazar and Beis Hillel? A really subtle difference. And that is that it's not a full single cheekful. It's dachuk. It's enough to basically cover the one cheek, but it's not a full and expansive cheekful. Admittedly, that's a really subtle difference between the two. But the Gemara really maintains, is committed to the idea that even though the Mishnah says cheekfuls, meaning two cheekfuls, no. The Malolugma of Shir for Yom Kippur is going to be one cheekful. Yeah, 100%. 100%. That brings us to the next point of the Gemara. So, Maskevla Rav Hoshia, Imkein Avalei Mikula Beishamu Mechomer Beisilo. So good. So Ben anticipated. So now what comes out now is that Beisilo is going to be a Machmir. Now, the Gemara doesn't fully articulate the Gemara's question, but Rashi does. And that is that we have an exhaustive list. We know exactly where Beis Hillel is Machmir. It happens so infrequently that the Mishnah Nedios basically chronicles the total number of times that Beis Hillel comes out to be a Machmir. This didn't make it into the list. Okay, good. That's exactly what bothers the Gemara. So it can be. So Amr Leis, so the response is as follows, as we turn to the Amr Beis. Yeah, that's true, but ki itchel, be'og melech habashan itchel, davle be'sham lechumra. When they were having the discussion, they weren't having a discussion about you and me. They were talking about og melech habashan. Og melech habashan, he had a massive cheek. Right? He had a massive body, he had a massive cheek. And now for his cheekful, so how much is that going to be? It's going to be a lot. A lot more than that of a kezias. So, I'm sorry, not a kezias, sorry. We're talking about liquids. A lot more than that of a revius, right? A revius is a quarter of a loaf. That is a objective amount. It's going to be a lot more. Okay, so now as we're discussing Og Melech HaBashan, so now let's take a look and put the two opinions side by side. So according to Beit Shammai, when is liability, when Og Melech HaBashan, everyone here understands, we're not talking about him per se, we're just simply talking about a very large person. Good. So according to Beit Shammai, so now he were to drink a revius. That's not gonna fill up one of his cheeks. He's huge. He's a humongous person. According to Beit Shammai, he's now gonna be chayav for drinking on Yom Kippur. He's now in violation of the inisim es nafsho sechem. He didn't afflict himself. He took away the pains of fasting. And meanwhile, according to Beis Hillel, he's not gonna be chayav. He's not gonna be chayav because that revius that he drank does not represent a cheekful for him. Okay. Now, what comes out really clear over here in the Gemara is that Malo Lugma Vezashir is different than all the other shirim we've been describing. All the other shirim we've been describing up until now is an objective amount.
On a standard.
Right? And when it comes to Malo Lugmav, it's going to be subjective to the person. And the Gemara is going to highlight that point, meaning that's correct. What I just said is correct. And the Gemara now is going to really highlight this point.
And this is what I guess the God of Bashir,
okay, good, good. And Malo Lugmav is a chiddush, meaning what you're saying is right 90% of the time, 95% of the time. And here's an exception to the rule. So it is an amount, it just happens to be a subjective amount. Okay, and the Gemara says, Maskev la Rebbe Zera, Maishna achila dechol chavecha bekokosevitz, Maishna shesia dechol chavecha bedidei. And now the Gemara is just highlighting this difference between Malo Lugmav versus any other shear. And now, just in terms of highlighting the difference, well, let's stay on Yom Kippur. Meaning, when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, so the amount that you have to eat on Yom Kippur to be chayiv is kosevis, as an objective amount, the volume of a date. And meanwhile, when it comes to the shear of drinking, it's malalugmav, but relative to the person and the size of his cheek. Why should that be? So amalei abaye kim lalu rabbanu beka kosevis abahachim yasve daita, but the mahachalom yasve. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's what the chachamim. Now, the way the Gemara says it, the Chachamim figured it out, right? Kimlu l'Rabbanan. Now again, it's a bit of a tension, right? You feel it in the Gemara in terms of whether this is a din d'oraisa or the Chachamim are the ones who put this back together again. Okay, but on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we already saw that, right? The idea that it's a halacha Moshe Messina, but the Asniel ben Kenaz reconstructed. So over here, it's the same basic idea. So anyway, so the Chachamim figure that when it comes to eating, so in other words, again, the violation of Yom Kippur is inui. You have to afflict yourself. And anything that takes away that feeling, that sense of affliction, so that's a violation. When it comes to food, it's a standard amount that takes it away, regardless of how big you are or how small you are. When it comes to drink, the Chachamim said no. When it comes to drinking, it's relative to your size, right? I'm just saying this as an example. Just to, as we could see this. In other words, right, when are you under the influence when you drink alcohol? So obviously it depends on the size of a person you are and the mass of your body. Okay, so, right, just saying it as an example. Okay, so b'shtia b'didei miyasvei daita b'dechavrei lo miyasvei daita. And the Gemara just simply says that when it comes to drinking, so it's relative to you, not to somebody else. Okay. Maskev la rabbi zer v'chol ha'olam kulo b'kakoseves vog melchabashem b'kakoseves. It's basically the same question, just rephrased. In other words, when it comes to you and I, so when is the inui removed by food? When we eat a kosevis, a volume of a date. Og, now you give him a date and he's happy. So amr le abayi kim lula rabbanan de behachim miyasvedaite b'tzim achalom miyasvedaite miu kule alma tuva v'og melchabashem porta. Again, when it comes to food, yes, it's an objective amount. Yishav hadas. Again, we're talking about taking away the pains of hunger. Where just, in other words, when do you get to the point of yishav hadas? And the chacham have arrived at the conclusion that for food, it is an objective amount. It's the size of a kosevis, even for og melech habashan. Maskav l'Rabbi Zera, baster shamein b'kakosevis, v'lulavi gafanim b'kakosevis. I know the Gemara is just really pushing the point. Okay, but the Gemara just wants to really highlight this idea. Okay, so you sit down, you have a steak. You have a kosevis worth of steak. Okay, delicious. And I'm now settled. And meanwhile, you have a salad of the same volume. And you're really going to be settled? You're going to be happy with the salad? Now, I know some people are happy with the salad. Okay, just, you know, I'm not one of those people. So the Gemara assumes that, you know, generally speaking, right, people are happier with meat than they are with a salad. So Amale Abai Kimlul Rabban and Debahachim Yasvedaite Basim Achalam Yasvedaite. Mio Basar Shamim Tuva Lulavi Kafanim Porta. And basically the Gemara says, yeah, that's right. In other words, again, the Chachamim said that, look, what we're looking for over here is the removal of Inui, the point of Yishuv Hadas. And again, it's going to be at the size of a kosevis. And it really is immaterial whether we're talking about meat or whether we're talking about a salad. Maskev LaRavik Rava. Again, the Gemara, I know the Gemara is hammering this point, but the idea is that we're not talking about satiation over here. This is not Sevilla. This is not the point of satiation. This is just simply the point where you take off the edge. Right. Maskev LaRavik Kazais Bechte Echilas Pras, Vikosevis Bechte Echilas Pras. And now the Gemara says, look, a Kazais, so what's the requisite amount of time to eat a Kazais? So it is within the shear of kedei achilas pras, the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras. And meanwhile, kosevis bechtei achilas pras. And the same thing is true with a kosevis. So the Gemara says, yeah, malei abai, kimlu rabbanan. Debahachim yasvedaite betrei mahachalom yasvedaite. Again, yishav hadas comes about when you eat a kosevis within the amount of time of a kedei achilas pras. Okay? How much is a kedei achilas pras in terms of time or in interval? Right? It's not clear. Now, when I say it's not clear, meaning that, you'll speak to various poskim and they'll give you a shear. But I'll say it a little bit differently. It's not clear whether or not it's an objective amount or it's relative to you and that which you're eating. Okay, that also is not clear. That's discussed already by the Achronim in terms of whether or not the shear, the interval of time of Kedei Achilas Pras is an actual objective amount of time or it remains relative to the kind of food that you're eating. Okay. So, Maskev LaRava. So Rava says the girsa seems to be kazais, even though in the parentheses it says kosevis. Mask of Rava kazais bechde achilas pras and chasi pras bechde achilas pras. So again, we're going to ask the question, but here we're going to ask the question a little bit different. Now, in order to appreciate this question, just let's remind each other of a particular halacha, and that is eating a chasi pras. If a person eats tummy food, so minatar, does it become tummy? The answer is no. The only occasion where that occurs, where you eat something and it makes you tameh, is eating a nevelas of tahor, the carcass of a kosher bird, right? The kosher bird was not shechted properly, so now you have nevelas of tahor, and you eat it and you're going to become tameh, but that's it. Outside of that, there's no food that you're going to eat that's going to make you tameh. Meanwhile, the Chachamim instituted that if you eat a chatzi pras of tameh food, you're going to become tameh. It's a din derabanan. And now the Gemara is just bothered because that's a lot of food. How much is that? So Rashi says over here, it's the volume of two eggs. Okay. Two large eggs, says Rashi. So over there, the shear is going to be k'dei achilas pras. Amalera papa, hanach l'tuma gviya, delav daraisi. The Gemara says, okay, but that's a tuma derabanan. So the fact that it's shear, the interval of time in order for you to become tummy is going to be k'dei achilas pras. Don't be bothered by that. The whole idea to begin with is a tumah derabanan. And the Gemara just clarifies, didn't he have a drasha for this halacha of Tumas Ochlin? So the, I don't want to be confusing. Tumas Ochlin is what we discussed earlier this morning. Right, this is what's called the Tumas Gevia, the person becoming Tame. So didn't he darshan from a pasuk? The pasuk says, "V'lo satamu behem and it made some bam." V'amr apapa mikan shetumas gviya daraisa. So that the tumas gviya is daraisa, meaning we're darshing it from the pasuk. The Gemara says we're not darshing it from the pasuk. Midrabanu v'kras machta v'ama. No, it's not darshan from the pasuk. The pasuk is just simply an asmachta. Okay. Basically, it takes us to the end of today's daf. I'm going to do a little bit more, just so that tomorrow. We'll be in really good, a good position. Tomorrow, just a little bit more Gemara to navigate. But basically now, let's just do a little bit more and then I'll review. Kola Ochlin, when it comes to the shear for Yom Kippur, so you have to separate food and drink. When it comes to food, the shear is a kosevis for Yom Kippur. When it comes to drink, it's malo logmav. And foods combined will get to the shear, will be mitzarif to a kosevis. Drinks combined will get to the shear of malo logmav. But food and drink will not combine. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. The Gemara has a couple of interesting points. Number one, Amar Papa, achol umso milcha mitzarif. So let's say you eat meat and you happen to give it a good amount of salt. Now, the meat by itself is a little bit less than a kosevis, but the salt brings it to the shear of a kosevis. Now, salt by itself, you don't eat salt by itself. In other words, independent of seasoning, it's not a food. And meanwhile, when you put it to the steak, it makes it delicious. So it becomes a food. So it's interesting, an interesting phenomenon, that salt by itself is not nachila, but when put together with meat, it now is going to be a food. Not only is it going to be food, it'll be mitzarif. It'll get you to the shear of a kosevis. Amish lakish sir shah gabi yarek mitzarif l'ka kosevis b'yama kippurim. Ah, what about salad dressing? Mm-hmm. So again, so you're eating salad, and it happens to be the amount is less than a kosevis. And then you add the salad dressing. So the salad dressing with the salad is now the shear of a kosevis. Now you're chayef on Yom Kippur. Now, pshita, the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? The Gemara says, no, it's not obvious. So ma'u detema mashkehu kamash malan kolach shure uchla, uchla hu. So the Gemara says, no. Once the salad dressing is added to the salad, it now has a status of ochel. The Gemara describes it as achshure uchla. It's making the food better. And once it makes the food better, even though it is a liquid, but since it's complementing the food, it's now status-wise takes on the status of a solid, of an ochel, and therefore it'll be mitzar for a shear. So those are two chidushim of rapapa. The salt for meat and the salad dressing for the salad. Okay, achila gas is where we're going to start tomorrow, right? Because that goes into tomorrow's daf. Okay, let's pause over here. Let's quickly review. Okay, a lot of very basic points that we made in today's daf regarding shiurim. Today is one of the cornerstone dapim in Shas that relates to shiurim. We're going to see the same discussion, not same, a similar discussion in Sukkah when we start Sukkah soon enough, daf Zayin, I believe. We're going to have a similar discussion regarding shiurim, but today is it. Number one, we established today that when it comes to food, the standard shear is going to be kazayas. And there are two notable exceptions where the shear for food is going to be different. Yom Kippur, it's a kosevis. Tumas Ochlin, it's a kibetza. Okay, and even within Tumas Ochlin, touched on the machlokas amongst the Rishonim, does that mean for the food to become tameh? Or does that mean for the food to transmit tumah to something else? Okay, to another food, so to say. Okay, that was the first point. Second point of today's das. Daf is that if by accident you ate chaylev, you should write down in a notebook how much you ate. Why? So that when the Beis HaMikdash comes, you're going to be chayv karban chatas. Well, why should you have to write it down? Either you ate a kezayis or you didn't eat a kezayis. Well, what do you need to write it down for? Oh, because Beis HaMikdash may decide the kezayis is going to be larger or smaller. Okay, generally, we explained this morning, how could Beis HaMikdash change the size of a kezayis? So we said, because the kezayis just simply means an average olive, and it could be that a later Beis HaMikdash is going to make a determination that we got the average wrong. It was a different size olive. Okay, so, and what's going to end up happening, the way the Gemara ended up, the pshat that the Gemara landed on is that what Basin will come along and say is that the shear is actually larger, which in the case of an Isser, now that'll spare you from a carbon chatas, because it turns out that you ate less than a kezias. And as we noted, the Basin in's determination will then be effective retroactively. That's a chiddush, but that's exactly what the Gemara says. Ben made the point earlier. I know. I understand it's a chiddush. Okay. And then the Gemara talked about shiurim being halach l'moshe m'Sinai, and then for the rest of today's daf, malo lugmav, the cheekful that you eat on Yom Kippur, in order that brings about a liability in that you are no longer in a state of inu, you have yishuv das. So a couple of really interesting points regarding malo lugmav. It is an anomaly in shiur. Shear, generally speaking, is objective. It is a standard amount. But when it comes to malulugmav, it becomes subjective to the person. Why? So the Gemara said, because when it comes to drinking, yishuv hadas is only created when you drink an amount that is relative to the size of your particular cheek. Og mel chabashan's cheek is malulugmav is going to be larger than other people. Okay. The amount right, and the Gemara basically hammers that point and expresses it in many different ways, but that's the novel understanding of Malolugmav as opposed to all other Shiurim. And finally, last thing we touched on this morning is that when it comes to anything that complements the food, even though it in of itself is not considered food, but if it's used to accentuate another food, so it's going to take on the status of food. Two examples the Gemara gave, salt on meat and salad dressing on a salad. So even though by itself it's not an ochel, but complementing the food, it is considered an ochel.